Hello, everyone. Sandel podcast number 31. Today, we'll be talking about the sandbox ecosystem. Something I've been looking forward to for quite some time, which is basically an explanation for how things work based on what I've seen. I've been a part of most segments of the ecosystem when it comes to being a gamer, a marketplace purchaser, a landowner, avatar owner, a experience publisher. I've delved into Voxedit, not extensively, but enough to mint stuff, and placing blocks in Game Maker to the point where we've published our own experiences. And today, I spent the last couple of weeks putting together flowcharts, diagrams, stuff like that to give a summary intro into what that ecosystem looks like. And yeah, it should help. If you have no idea what's going on, if you're struggling to understand how all the facets of Sandbox play together, from the DAO to the game maker to the game client, this is the intro for you. So as I mentioned, the scope of the talk is an orientation and it's a summary. And it's basically an orientation and summary from my point of view as someone who's been involved in the Sandbox for going on 3 years now. Disclaimer, I do not represent the Sandbox game or the Sandbox Foundation, which is the DAO. I am not your financial or legal advisor, and nothing we say is to be taken as financial or legal advice. When I say the word SIP, I mean Sandbox Improvement Proposal. When I say the word DAO, I mean Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And when I use the word SANFAM, I'm referring to everyone in the Sandbox community, and this is the episode we're going to go into what that means. DAO scoreboard, as of early October, the SIPs 14 and 15 did not pass because they did not reach quorum. SIP 15 was the disability hiring program. SIP 14 was mine. It was a window resizing and resolution options. Unfortunately, neither passed quorum, so they did not pass, bringing us to 9 SIPs approved, 6 SIPs not approved, and 1 SIP withdrawn. So it's about half and half right now. That's 16 SIPs total. There are none in draft or open for voting. And that's because the Sandbox DAO team is currently busy reviewing, interviewing, and approving the delegates that just opened up. I did a podcast on that. And that was Sandel Podcast 28. So check that out if you're interested in the update on the delegate system that is and delegation that has arrived to Sandbox. Okay, for the checkbook, we are at 15% spent of our 15.5 million budget. The only thing that this doesn't account for is the operations budget, which I need to delve into a little bit more deeply. And so of our 15.5 million budget, we spent 2.3. That's just totaling all the SIPs that have been approved. DAObase.ai, we're still at 211,000 token holders, and we're now at 15 proposals, and having casted 2,200 votes, I'm sorry, 9,200 votes across 222 voters. Introduction, my name is Lanzer. I am a landowner, avatar owner, gamer, and I have a background in contract writing and negotiations and program management, and I'm the host for Sandel Podcast. I'm also the president of MetaWorlds. We have published 2 experiences, Floor Droppers and Lava Defense. Floor Droppers is currently at 0-0 for Season Pass for Alpha Season 4. I made a tweet about that a little earlier. Looks like it disappeared from 0-0 because it's going to release at a later time. But it did appear for a little bit. I posted the link to it. I'm beyond excited that it's at 0-0 and Season 4. It was rather unexpected that they reached out to me and said, hey, we like what Floor Droppers did during Builder's Challenge. We like the idea of it, and we'd like to include it in Season 4. And I was very, very happy to accept. And we had to make a few changes to be in Season 4. I'm loving Season 4 so far. if you've been on this channel, you've been seeing that I've been hosting 24-hour streams pretty much for Alpha Season 4. So check that out when we're not doing Sandow podcasts. That's twitch.tv/Lanzer, L-A-N-Z-R. All right. Today, why are we here? Today, we're going to be talking about what is the sandbox. Should have put a little agenda item. What is the sandbox? How does the ecosystem work? What is its purpose, its people, and its products? How does it all come together in an ecosystem that functions and has been functioning since 2018? Okay, so what is a sandbox? It first started in 2012 as a mobile game. It was not blockchain enabled. As if you YouTube speeches made by Arthur Madrid and Sebastian Bourget, they articulate this in a number of their conferences. Started in 2012 and it transformed into a metaverse game with the blockchain ecosystem in 2018. And it went from mobile to PC. So, having been involved in most of the things in what Sandbox does and is, it took me a while to figure it out. So this is the benefit of my knowledge and in a summary of it, just my perspective. So what is the Sandbox? It basically revolves around three segments, three groups of things that are happening all at once, three activities. They are the product, the people, and the purpose. The product are all the different things that the Sandbox game and the Sandbox company have produced to include the game that we're playing in Alpha Season 4 right now, but also a lot of back-end products that support the game. The people are all of the family members we call SandFam involved in the daily activities of the Sandbox. I also include the DAO when I include the people because the DAO is mostly an organization of community. Even though it does have a structure, it is itself separate from the Sandbox, as described by Sebastian and Cyril, who is the DAO administrator. And the purpose. Why are we even doing any of this? Why does the Sandbox exist? All of those things together, all of those three segments come together, swirl around, interact with each other daily, and that's what the ecosystem is created from. There we go. That's a good summary for it. It's a daily interaction of the Sandbox's product, people, and purpose. So let's get into the first one. What do I mean when I say people? Well, what I'm talking about are all of the types of people who interact with the Sandbox. That's the gamers. A lot of them are in Alpha Season 4 right now. You install the game client, you launch the launcher, and you jump in 0-0 at the Alpha Season 4 hub or whatever the default experience is at the time. And then you start playing. WSAD, jump around, do quests. Those are the gamers. Then you have the game makers. They interact with the game maker product and they place blocks and they create the levels that the gamers play on. We have voxel artists or just artists. They're the ones who create all of the scenery. They create all of the objects and assets that the game makers put into their game. So the gamers can play with both. So the sword that you swing, that is an axe, that is an asset created by a voxel artist. The grass that you run on, that is a voxel block placed by a game maker. And the gamers play with both. Then you have the landowners. So the asset that the game makers place the blocks on is called land, and there is someone who owns that land. So that's an NFT that someone will own. Sand holders. So that's the sand token, which exists on Polygon and the Ethereum blockchains. So sand is a token compared to the Ethereum and Polygon coins. So whether you're speculating, you're day trading, or you're just holding it, or you're staking it, if you hold sand, or if you have that token in your wallet, you're a sandholder. Then you have the DAO delegates. This is the newest kid on the block. The DAO delegates haven't been implemented yet. They're in the process of being implemented by the DAO admin team. But they will have, they will be the person that all of the voters, many voters, will delegate their voting power to, and the delegates will be able to vote on behalf of those who delegated. Then you have participants. That to me is like a catch-all. So a person who is a participant isn't necessarily any one of the above, but they still interact with the daily sandbox activities. And the thing that comes to mind to me is a broker. Someone who doesn't own land, but will find someone who does, find a buyer of land and a seller of land, and broker that deal. So they don't even have to own any sand. They could just be someone who doesn't, they don't have the game, they don't have the game make, they don't have the voxel edit or make voxel artwork. They don't have to own land, they don't have to hold sand, they don't have to be a delegate. But they are in a key position to connect buyers and sellers where otherwise they would not meet. So that's market activity. And people like that, or other people who don't fall into any of these categories, are participants. And then the last thing is the sandbox team. They themselves, the developers of the sandbox game and all these products, they are employees of the sandbox company. They themselves are part of the people of the sandbox ecosystem. And all of those people together is what I mean when I say SandFam. It's the sandbox community. Those who participate in the sandbox ecosystem in some way, shape, or form. Okay? Page two, so that was just page one. Page two of people is the businesses, all of the businesses that are partnered with by the sandbox. So that would be, you know, Atari, Deadmau5, eToro, The Walking Dead, Time Magazine, who else? Playboy, Gucci, Ledger, many, many, many businesses that have invested. Most of them are themselves landowners, sand token holders, but I call them out separately because they have their own niche as to where they belong and what part they play. So so Animoca Brands, you know, owns the sandbox, the sandbox company, and all of its partners. And then below I have the DAO, which would be the voters and the delegates. The Sandbox Foundation, which is the corporate entity, the one that I say in the disclaimer I don't represent. The Sandbox Foundation is the DAO's legal entity. Then you have the councils and the working groups. So the special council, the advisory board, and any working groups that may crop up in the future. So those are part of the people, but most of them have some sort of place in the page one of the people that I just went through past 10 minutes, who I dubbed as SandFam. I didn't want to leave them out though. They have an emerging place within the sandbox ecosystem. All right, so those are the people that are involved in the sandbox ecosystem. The gamers, the game makers, voxel artists, landowners, sand holders, DAO delegates, participants, and the sandbox team. All equal the SandFam. All right. Then we move on to the products. Products is what the people interact with when they enter the sandbox ecosystem. You have four main categories of product. You have VoxEdit, Game Maker, the Market, and the Game Client. VoxEdit is the software that studios, artists, and animators interact with to create voxel art. So a lot of the NFTs that you see in the marketplace, all the assets, the props, the equipment, those are all created by voxel artists, mostly through VoxEdit. There are competing products, but VoxEdit is the official Vox editor for the sandbox. So that's one product. Second product is the Game Maker. That's where most of your studios and game devs and quality assurance testers exist in. That's where you place blocks to create your experience, your level designers. That's where the engineers will go in to create game logic, all your triggers and messages and mechanics that make an experience work, your quests. Game Maker is where you also place your NFT assets that are created in VoxEdit. And you publish experiences to the sandbox map. So if you are playing in Alpha Season 4, you are playing on an experience created by a game maker with assets created from VoxEdit. And then we have the game client. That is the main mechanism through what most of the community interacts with. That's where you actually play the game. So the two products out of that is the game client and the sandbox launcher. The game client is the actual thing where you open up and you join experience and you play. The game launcher is now kind of like when you have Steam it's kind of like Steam when you open it up and it's kind of like a game manager, so to speak. It's very new, so it's still they're still working out the kinks, but I imagine that's where you're also going to end up with VoxEdit and Game Maker, downloading it out of there. But for right now, it just has the sandbox game client, and it will be an auto up. It's also an auto updater. So that's where your gamers, your guild members, and your Web 2 and Web 3 users interact with mostly, is through the game client. Last but not least is the market. The market is the activity on blockchain and all the buying and selling and speculating and deal making, mostly through the market, which is the avatar marketplace, the sandbox marketplace, which is where you can buy assets and equipment. You have the blockchains, all the exchanges where you can buy and sell sand token, and then the map where you can buy and sell land. You can also do it through Magic Eden or OpenSea. So the market is where all the buyers and sellers, the staking happens, the brokers and the exchanges all interact with each other. So those four products exist within the sandbox ecosystem, which is the VoxEdit, the game maker, game client, and the market. And that's where all the people, they have some part to play in. Last but not least is the purpose. The purpose. So what is the purpose of the sandbox? Why are we here? So taken from the sandbox white paper, which was launched in 2020, the words it starts out with is to play, create, govern, earn. So what does that mean? Welcome to the metaverse is what it says. And the sandbox team is building a unique virtual world where players can build, own, and monetize their gaming experiences using sand, the main utility of the platform. So we kind of already went over what the sand was, what gaming experiences were, experiences what the player will play on. Sand is the token. Build on land using Game Maker. You own the land and NFTs by purchasing them on the blockchain and in the marketplace. You monetize by staking or buying and selling. And all of that is metaverse gaming. Metaverse meaning, web-enabled, massively multiplayer online, usually an immersive experience. Think Ready Player One, but not quite so, put on a headset and you're transported into stuff. So that's the white paper in 2020. But let's not just choose the white papers. Let's also hear the words of the people who co-founded this whole thing. So Sebastian Bourget, who is the Sandbox co-founder and the COO, Chief Operating Officer. A quote from one of his, a couple of his AMAs is quoting from Sebastian, "The sandbox is how we empower anyone to become a creator, where we build a virtual world that brings culture and gaming together." So culture is a very deep word. I might even have to do a podcast on in the future, but far, far more experienced minds than I can comment on culture. That's like the people's interactions. It's your customs. It's your art, your entertainment, your customs and courtesies. Culture, how a society lives and functions. So this brings many different cultures and the gamers together. You know, your first person shooters, your MMOs, your RPG players, puzzle, party gamers, all of that stuff. You bring them all together in a virtual world. And you do that by enabling anyone, empowering, in Sebastian's words, anyone to become a creator, to build, to create, to buy, to sell, to own, all of the things, to govern, all of the things that were said in the white paper. Okay? That's Sebastian Bourget. Quoted as saying how we, the sandbox is how we empower anyone to become a creator. And later on in that sentence, he says, build a virtual world that brings culture and gaming together. Arthur Madrid, who is also Sandbox co-founder and currently the chief executive officer, the CEO, said, "We are building a blockchain metaverse where anyone can buy land and create their own digital space. We believe in a new immersive and social experience." So you start to see some similar trains of thought happening here. Arthur Madrid, who's very business-minded, very entrepreneurial. If you watch a lot of his videos, he's been an entrepreneur for quite some time, more in like the management leadership role, that sort of thing. And his take on it is a blockchain metaverse, so blockchain-enabled, metaverse being what we said earlier about online social interactions, where anyone can buy land and create their own digital space. So buy land being the marketplace activities we talked about during the products, and the digital space, owning their own digital space, which is the land that landowners can own, or and the creation of that digital space would be the game maker and the Vox editor, where you can create the assets and create the scenery and architecture on that land using game maker. And then last but not least, he said, "We believe in a new immersive and social experience." This was a little bit of a social experience is what I cued in there, to where he's talking about the interactions where people can new ways of interacting with each other online. So repeating it one more time, Arthur Madrid said, "Sandbox is where we are building a blockchain metaverse where anyone can buy land and create their own digital space. We believe in the new immersive and social experience." Yetsu, chairman of the Animoca brand, said, "Sandbox continues to be a key strategic initiative." Key strategic initiative being the phrase there, where it's important to the Animoca brand. Animoca Brands is the largest Web3 company in the world. I don't think anyone's larger than them in terms of market cap or size. They have over 400 companies, subsidiaries that they own. He goes on later to say in a different, in his TED talk, "To think of the open metaverse as the construction of new economies and new societies with a strong foundation of digital property rights. The construction of new economies being the marketplace activity we talked about earlier. The new societies being the cultural norms that are developed out of the sandbox, unique to the sandbox. And digital property rights being the ownership of your assets that you buy and trade, own, sell, and interact with on the blockchain and in the market within the sandbox ecosystem." So I linked here specifically to their words, so you can hear it in their own words, and we'll just go through all four of them.
So what would you say is the ultimate mission of the sandbox? Where do you see the sandbox in 10 years, for example?
Well, that's a great question. So our mission is like, how do we empower anyone to become a creator, right? That's really what's driving us. And like, we've been so creator focused, so creator driven since the beginning. We keep doing so. It's our big focus this year. I believe like beyond that, beyond like enabling anyone to become a content creator, we want to build a virtual world that brings culture and gaming together. Once you onboard new people, first time creator to a platform, people who never made video games before, you start attracting different kind of content, things that you will not find on other platform, because just the pool of the people who contribute to express their creativity, their imagination is different.
So there you go. That's basically what I quoted earlier. And that was Sebastian Bourget on the Token Podcast with Ana Solana. That was 3 months ago, back in June 2024. Okay, the next one is Arthur Madrid.
Doing right now? What are you trying to work on?
So, yeah, like we are building a blockchain metaverse where anyone can buy lands and create their own digital space and host people. We believe on a new immersive and social experience that is enabling a new way to interact, a new way to build, a new way to trade, a new way to own, a new way to govern. So basically, we do believe like decentralization and Web 3.0 can definitely change the way people play. And this is what we're working every day on.
So there you go. That was back 2 years ago with Arthur Madrid. And in November of 2021 on the Bit About Crypto podcast. And then Yetsu?
You are, what products, what games you're building now?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, obviously Sandbox continues to be a key strategic initiative, but otherwise, you know, one of the other initiatives that, you know, we're really focused on is the Mochaverse. And
I might have to do a podcast all on Mochaverse in the future and how that may really interact with the Sandbox. I mentioned it briefly earlier on page two of the people part where Animoca Brands. So we won't focus on that now, but Yetsu, this was Yetsu on the Defiant podcast. And it was fascinating to me for him to say that Sandbox is a key strategic initiative. And you see why when he constantly talks about digital property rights. And I let him speak for himself on his TED Talk.
Think of the open metaverse as the construction of new economies and new societies with a strong foundation of digital property rights. This presents us with a remarkable opportunity to shift away from this current form of shareholder capitalism that has left so many people behind to this newer form of stakeholder capitalism in which every participant can now also become an owner.
So that was Yetsu's TED Talk a year ago on August 2023. And it wasn't a TEDx talk. It was a TED Talk. So the main TED stage. And there was a lot there. I would highly recommend that you go watch that. It was very enlightening when it comes to the concepts, strategies, and ideas, how to approach Web3. And I found many phrasing that I use myself now that I really think is very descriptive of what it is that we're after. But in any case, zeroing it back into Sandbox, this is the purpose. This is why the Sandbox exists, with the main people who are behind it. All right. So though we just went over in depth the three things that are all playing together, the three segments, your products, your people, and your purpose. They are interacting with each other. They're making exchanges all the time. Your people being the Sand Fam, your products being the software products put out by the game company and the market activity, and the purpose being the reason why the founders and the main muscle movers for it to be in existence. So the Sandbox ecosystem, what are we left with? How does it all function together? You have on the left your white paper and the reasons for why the Sandbox exists, spoken by the people who are the main movers and leaders behind it. Then you have the products, the market activity, the game client, the game maker, and the Vox edit. After that, you have the Sand Fam, which are the gamers, the game makers, voxel artists, landowners, sand holders, DAO delegates, participants, and the Sandbox team. When you put them all together, what is it that you're left with? What do you get? you get that ecosystem, the daily interactions, and of all the people, purpose, and products, buying and selling, you know, content creation, playing the game, making assets, trading, purpose, charity, existence, identity, culture. All of those things are happening each day, and that is what it means for the sandbox ecosystem to exist. And that's it. That's what I wanted to go over today. It was just an introduction. I'm going to be doing a podcast episode on each of these segments. So I'll be doing a deep dive into the sandbox ecosystem and the people, sandbox ecosystem in the market, sandbox ecosystem in the DAO, and the gamers. Just a couple of days ago, we did an interview with Touche, one of the most well-known and successful sandbox studios, who was himself leading a group of game makers, Vox artists. And he published many experiences, some of which were Game of the Year, Advanced Trusted Partner. He existed solely and very, very deeply within the game maker, voxel artist, landowner. So that would be this right here. Cannot see that. That be this right here, which is the top portion, the studios. So it was a studio for both Vox editing and game making. So that was just a couple days ago. Please check that out. He sent a tweet out to where he had to take a step back from full time studio making of the sandbox, and I'll let his reasons speak for themselves if you go watch the podcast. But in the future, you can expect me to cover a deep dive into the summary that I just gave you today. And in a couple days, I didn't put this on here yet, but episode 32 is actually going to be the DAO admin team Medium article that just published a few days ago. I put my thoughts in the DAO forums and also on Twitter, to where you can see the questions that I asked. And I'm giving a couple more days to see if the DAO team would respond. If not, I'm just going to cover what I wrote as a podcast. Okay. I didn't see any community questions, although I did see a couple of messages from not Jackie Chan. I'm not able to scroll up to see what happened or what was discussed. Apologies for that, Jackie. I did see that you're talking about how one of the main, the most important people are the creators and the players. I definitely agree with that. So I didn't see any community questions. If you do have one, just go ahead and post one. And before I stop the show, I will answer it. No open topics. And so Sandbox Spaces, if you want to get involved in the Sandbox community, on Discord is the best way to do that. There is a DAO discussion channel. There's game making channels, Vox editing channels, land ownership staking channels. Jackie Chan says, very cool. Love your presentations. Love it. Thank you. Appreciate you watching, Jackie Chan. Not Jackie Chan. Sorry. That's your username. You can also, in Sandbox Spaces, go to the Sandbox DAO forums. That's the best place to go to interact with the DAO, the SIPs, talk with just general conversation about the DAO. On Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, you can hashtag SandFam, hashtag the Sandbox DAO, hashtag the Sandbox Game, or follow at the Sandbox DAO and at the Sandbox Game. On Mondays, there's Mochaverse Hall, also known as United Grand Halls. On Saturdays, Bulls on the Block. On Monday through Friday, Coffee with Captain. It's mostly an ape chain enabled, but they do talk about the sandbox. On Tuesdays is Natively Digital with Whale members, who just announced their DAO, and I put in a proposal for their DAO for them to participate regularly in voting on the sandbox SIPs. And then monthly is SandFam Cafe, hosted by Bruno, otherwise known as Pickaxe Master, and we did an interview with him last month, and that was Sandel podcast number 17 back in August. Thank you all for your time. Today was about the Sandbox ecosystem, the products, the people, and the purpose. And I will be continuing my stream after this for the Sandbox Alpha season. Have a great day, everyone.